Welcome back to the Morning Watch. I am Marvia Laws. Today we are sharing in the national and international observation of World Suicide Prevention Day, and our subjects that we'll be discussing in first and second will help us to give greater prominence and visibility to this observation. Remember, you can make your contribution to our discussion on our Facebook page at Love 101 FM, where we are asking, what are your thoughts on the level of support systems in place to deal with issues surrounding suicide? It's now time for the main watch. Every day we get up and we climb onto the conveyor belt of life. We go to work, we go through the motions, or we go to school, we go about our business. But are we living a meaningful life? Are we working towards a meaningful and a compelling future? Do our lives have purpose? What's to stop us from just giving up on life and just choosing to opt out? This morning, we speak with life and corporate coach Cheryl Messam of You in Mind Jamaica. And we'll also be joined by Miss Kara Walters, she's a business development coach and advisor and ambassador to the Governor General's I Believe initiative. Two able women who have done a lot in the area of coaching will help us this morning to get an understanding of what it means to create a compelling future, something that will inspire you to want to stick around in this life and not opt out. So we hope you're listening keenly this morning, and so we want to help you to understand what it means to have something to live for. Welcome, ladies. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Okay. We are looking today at the observance of World Suicide Prevention Day, and we want to look at those persons who have been struggling with life in Jamaica. There's so many obstacles to this life, and there are many persons who sometimes wonder, what's the purpose, what's the point? Especially our youth who are unemployed, who have left school and don't see their way. How does one create a compelling future? What is it that will go into keeping you here? Cheryl, we want to start off with you.
Okay, thanks again for having me, Reverend Law.
Yes.
Okay, when I think of the question of how to create a compelling future, the first thing that came to my mind is the need for us to examine how we think. And inclusive in that is that when it comes to the matter of living, as you have described, it is stressful. There are a lot of things going on with us, especially those of us who are in Jamaica and experiencing the effects of our shrinking economy. Mm-hmm. The financial problems that we face create a huge amount of stress because, as you know, finances touch and concern almost every aspect of human living. But it's one of the things that we can do is, in terms of our thinking, is to have an attitude of acceptance.
Okay.
That, as Joyce Meyer puts it, into each life a little rain will fall. Mm-hmm. And we need to come to life with some acceptance that we are going to have stressors, we are going to have challenges. And so that when the challenges do arise, if we accept it up front that this is a part of life and it is a normal part of life, then we don't react with resentment or with surprise.
Okay.
So being prepared with an attitude of acceptance. Also, we need to also think about examine our general state of health. What is the quality of our physical health, the level of nutrition, the level of rest, the level of exercise, the amount of fun and enjoyment that is a normal part of our life. And also, what is the quality of our emotional health? We also need to think about what is the extent of our support system? Are we in relationship with persons who are safe? And by safe, I would mean that the person has good values, is a wise advisor, is non-judgmental. That's very important because we don't speak enough about our problems.
Okay.
And because of that, we suffer in silence.
All right. I'm going to bring in Kara at this point. We're coming back to you in a moment. Kara?
Yes.
Yes.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Cheryl. I'm sorry. actually remember you.
Oh.
Yes, I remember you.
I smiled
when I heard your name.
Yes,
it's a place to bring friends together. Okay.
The things you're doing now. Okay, to address the issue.
Yes.
How do we create a compelling life? And I will agree with Cheryl that it does begin with the way of our thinking, because in addressing the topic, I thought to reference one of my favorite authors and philosophers, Jim Rohn, one of the modern fathers of personal development.
Okay.
And in one of his books called The Five Major Pieces of the Life Puzzle, he basically outlined what are some of the basics toward living a very fulfilling and successful life. Centered on around success, but it's success in a very holistic and comprehensive way.
Okay.
Because we are human beings with different facets: the physical, the emotional, the mental, and also the spiritual. And we have to factor in all of those when we're going to speak about our success. And the five principles are: the first one is philosophy, which speaks to how it is that we think.
Mm-hmm.
Because as the saying goes, you are what you think. Because you say the things that you think, and your actions are then influenced by those thoughts and those words. You know, words don't power, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to ensure the first thing in leading a compelling life, a life that grips you, a life that excites you and inspires you to continue, turns on all your creative juices, then you have to have some vision. You know, have a purpose, have a philosophy of life that guides you towards ultimately fulfilling a life that has a purpose. And to start doing that, you're going to have to become aware of who you are, because we all have our unique talents, our unique gifts, something that we have to contribute to the world, no matter how small it is. And once we become appreciative that every single soul, every single one of us has something to contribute, then there's no need to feel inferior. There's no...
Okay, we have another family.
Yes, there's no need. Hold on, let me just get him out of the room, please.
All right, so let us go to Cheryl.
Yes.
While she's taking care of that family member who's in the conversation. Do you think you're back here?
Yes.
All right, okay, good.
So once we realize our uniqueness, then we realize and that we have something to contribute, then we know then that we don't need to necessarily feel as if we are, you know, some of the feelings that would contribute to one thinking that they need to end their life, that they're worthless.
True.
And so appreciating your value, developing a philosophy that has you forming valuable perceptions of yourself, valuable perceptions of life, is one of the first ways.
All right. Back to Cheryl. Cheryl, it seems that sometimes we have some other cultural factors that helps us to develop the victim mentality, and we lack self-worth, or we get drawn into the belief that we're better off dead than alive. We're trouble, we're a bother. What are some of the factors in our cultural thinking or even religious that might contribute to this?
When you mention culture as it relates to Jamaica, I think that we have some long-standing issues that perhaps stem from our slave heritage. The matter of color in this country, skin shape, and that kind of came again to the fore the other day with the documentaries on bleaching. So we see that there is some sort of self-hate ideation that still exists in our society that says that we cannot accept how we were born and that persons of a lighter shade do better. So I, wanting to do better, must artificially create that for myself. Also, the matter of class, which is also intertwined with color in Jamaica. Class, you know, who has more money or who is able to convey that, you know, they are doing better financially. And just generally, a part of Jamaican culture, there's something that, you know, when I was much younger, I formed the impression that one of the reasons why we struggle as Jamaica with the same old issues year in, year out, is our lack of unity as a country.
Okay.
And this is how I like to put it. You know, in the past, you know, over years, we have had occasions where the price of chicken, which is like a basic food product, has escalated. And you would think that similarly in other countries where the consumers just decide that we're not going to buy chicken, that we would do that in Jamaica. But why can't that work in Jamaica? Because this is how I imagine it. We have to be able to say when we are at the hairdresser, you know what I had for dinner? On Sunday, chicken.
Okay.
While many can't have it.
Uh-huh.
Because we need to be able to say as Jamaicans, I am better than.
Okay.
And I think that persons who don't have a strong sense of self,
mm-hmm.
Hearing that message in its different forms,
mm-hmm.
continue to feel pushed down.
Okay.
Especially if life is not going well for them in, you know, in the other things that we want, the general things that we want life to go well for. Our relationship with the person who we are romantically involved with,
uh-huh.
our family of origin, that relationship. If we're not earning good income, those things, if those things are not stable,
mm-hmm.
and growing,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to constantly face this subliminal message, and sometimes it's not really subliminal, that, you know, X, Y, Z person is doing better than me, or is actually better than me. I think that those things combine.
Mm-hmm.
to make people feel a sense of hope.
Okay, Kara, give us your observation on that.
All right, on the cultural perspective.
Yes.
I'm just going to still reference the philosophies here.
Mm-hmm.
And once one has a thought process that is healthy,
mm-hmm.
Based on what goes on around them, then they will be able to not take on a too much judgment, because a part of the culture, whether it be the religious views that person may use, or positions that people may use, or in the example that Cheryl gave about bleaching and so on, it's about judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the things that affect us negatively are when it comes on to sometimes the judgment and just not fully being aware, because we make decisions based on the information that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it so means that we need to ensure that we're constantly giving ourselves, feeding ourselves with the right kind of information. Cheryl mentioned earlier, be careful of who it is that you are associating.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of things are you reading? Are you just watching television? I mean, you cannot allow the fashion, the trend, the even the economy.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot allow what happens out in the environment to influence you so much that it takes you off the course from your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That should be your purpose. That should be your main focus in life. So while there are always going to be environmental factors, all of us get affected by them. The rain don't fall on one man's
mm-hmm.
stuff, right? And we need to build that mental fortitude, that spiritual fortitude, that no matter what is going on, we know our purpose and we stay on course with it.
Okay. Now, we are wondering, though, is there a point when creating this future, this life that is, you know, driven by a passion and you have goals and all of that, is there a point where there's a risk of it consuming you so much that you're not seeing it, you know, materialize or become fulfilled, that you might then become despondent and reach a place of suicide or attempting? Cheryl?
I think so, but I think that the antidote to being overwhelmed is, you know, us listening to what the Word of God says, that we are to humble ourselves.
Okay.
Because when you operate from a spirit of humility, regardless of the things that you are working towards, you always have a very clear sense of your need of God. And that the things that you accomplish are not by your brain and brawn, but that you are fortunate, you are blessed, and that, you know, as the saying goes, there go I, except for the grace of God. And if you have a sense of a strong sense of humility, when things happen to, when life doesn't turn out the way that you want it to, and even if it is awful, the experience that you're going through, the humility, I think, helps to clarify and to put things in its proper perspective.
Okay. All right. Come on, Akira. Let me hear you.
All right. So you have a philosophy.
Yes.
Right? You also need to work on your attitude.
Okay.
Your attitude is how you feel about what you know. So you have the thoughts and those create the values. But suppose you have the wrong attitude. We all know that we have the talented people out there, and you have another person who may be less talented, but it's the one without the talent, or the one with less talent, that needs it because they have the right attitude, the attitude that puts in perspective for them that if I'm going to achieve something, I need to put in diligent
work. Okay, okay.
And I have to know that it's patient. I will not achieve my goals overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take me being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take me being disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take me reviewing my actions. And that failure, also having an attitude about failure.
Mm-hmm.
Failure doesn't mean that you are worthless or that it is over.
Mm-hmm.
It is a part of the learning process. So when we have the proper attitude with the right philosophy, then we begin to put things in the proper perspective so that we think we're thinking right and we're also feeling right about what it is that is going on in our life, and so we can stay on focus, stay
okay.
on purpose.
All right. Now, both of you have used two different ways of expressing something that you have triggered in my mind now. One spoke of humility and the other spoke of having the right attitude. I don't know. I've heard people say it, having gone overseas and experienced something different about life. They return to Jamaica or they say from where they're at that there's something about the way we are taught humility in Jamaica that keeps us back or keeps us down. And one of the things I understand about a life that is, you know, successful and so on, it's about recognizing your achievements and sharing them. To what degree should you toot your own horn? How do we be humble, balance the humility without putting ourselves down or even creating some kind of false humility? Cheryl, how do we do that?
I
don't know if you understand the observation.
Yes, I do, you know, because that's even a personal journey that I am going through, which life coaching is helping me to address. I would say that because I became a Christian when I was 11, that I have a natural, I'm gun shy of bigging up myself.
Okay.
But, you know, as I go through my own personal development, I do understand that if I root what I say and I do in truth, then that acts as a balancer and doesn't allow me to be excessive, either in terms of going in the way of guilt,
yes,
or going in the way of boasting that has no basis. So if I speak truthfully about my accomplishments, but not try to communicate that because I am accomplished in X,
mm-hmm,
that I am a more valuable and worthwhile human being than you,
mm-hmm,
or Kira, I feel that that is quite appropriate, because it is not truthful if I'm accomplished. Let us say if I'm Usain Bolt.
Oh, wow.
To say if in an interview, oh, that was nothing.
Uh-huh.
That is not truthful.
That's right.
That's false. That's false humility. But if you say, you know, I hear Shelly Ann say it, you know, I've worked hard, you know, I've been focused, I have doubted myself, I've asked the Lord to help me, if it is your will, Lord, and I've gone out there and I've done it, and I've heard other athletes say it, and I feel like that is a very true description of the process that they have had to go through to achieve the things that they have had. So I think that it is appropriate for you to speak of your accomplishments, but it must be rooted in truth, and you must not infer in expressing your accomplishments that because this has happened to you, you are a more valuable and worthwhile person, and that certain things should come to you as a result of that.
Kira.
Okay, I agree with you, and I think it's something that most persons who do have some awareness and some desire for making something, having their life of meaning, do have a challenge with.
Mm-hmm.
People who are driven, you either have them going on one extreme of being overly to the point of being arrogant,
mm-hmm.
or you have them being so doubtful that they sometimes are frozen in inaction because of this doubt and fear.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I can relate to it as well. And I would use the PD, the personal development philosophy, again, that if you need to plan diligently. And in your planning, you must learn how to evaluate your progress. It's consistent but small steps that get you to where you need to go. And allow your actions, allow your achievements to speak for themselves. You, in your own reflection and evaluation of where you're on meeting your milestones, should celebrate them. You know, you have your inner circle, the people who you know are rooting for, the people who you have shared your dreams and your challenges with. Share with them when you meet your milestones, and have a little celebration each time to keep you motivated, to keep you excited, so that you are getting some acknowledgement for it. But don't go, you know, proclaiming it and to the world, because you know that's not going to necessarily lead the right impression, and you may start believing your own hype and forget that you have to still continue to work.
So
you know, do it and keep things in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have your own checkpoints or your milestones, and celebrate them when you do, because you will just get burnt out if you keep on working without ever feeling like you're achieved. You know, the celebration allows you to acknowledge that, yes, I'm moving, I'm growing, I'm learning, I'm developing, and allow the general public to acknowledge it by seeing the works.
Okay, so what would be the meaningful celebratory acts? A new shoes? A new bag?
If you feel like it, of course.
Just asking.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Now, we want to hear a little bit about setting goals. How important and how should we set goals and follow through? Because, look, Jamaicans not short of ideas. We have plenty big ideas. But how do we move them forward and make them into something that is meaningful? Cheryl?
Okay, when you go about setting goals, setting goals really is about clarifying for yourself the answer to the question, what do I want? It's useful for you to think of that in terms of the areas of life that you consider significant, and that will differ from person to person. But a helpful framework is typically people consider themselves significant. So, you know, what do I want? Where in my life do I need to grow? Family is significant. Finances, health, leisure, fun and enjoyment, social relationships, romantic relationships, career. Those are typically the areas of life people consider significant. And so for each one, you have to ask yourself the question, what do I want? Then you... once you clarify that, then you need to ask, how do I go about it?
Okay.
Then you also need to ask, who do I need to ask for help?
Okay.
Help as in perhaps actual help in the doing, or help as in who can give me advice as to how to go about this.
All right. Kira?
I pretty much can't say much better than that, you know.
Right.
You have to identify what it is you want, all the areas, acknowledging your full self, because you have to keep yourself in balance. If you do that, then you're going to end up in problems, you know. And make the goals realistic, you know, let them be reasonable, expect reasonable results in a reasonable time frame.
Uh-huh.
That's what I would go by. Because you don't want to say, okay, I want to be a doctor. And yes, you want to be a doctor, but you can't skip the time that you need to spend in medical school to get there.
Okay.
You have to be realistic about the goals that you're setting.
Okay.
And like I said, give yourself little milestones in between. For the bigger goal, for the longer milestones, the bigger goals, give yourself incremental milestones so that you can celebrate them and stay motivated to continue.
All right, 1 minute each. My personal and for me, the highest goal I think I could ever accomplish is to be closer to God. What would be the highest goal that person should strive for, Kira?
Wow, that's a big goal.
Okay.
That is such a big question, but I'm not going to disagree with you. I believe that when we start this kind of journey of developing ourselves and living on purpose, ultimately that's what we're working towards, you know, getting closer to our Creator and finding the meaning that was intended for us in life.
Okay.
And that to me is the ultimate.
Cheryl.
Well, I mean, as a Christian, I'm going to agree with you. But for somebody who is not yet a Christian, I would say that we all can strive towards making the best decisions for our life. And that requires taking time to reflect and to really think about what do I want and what is best, and understanding that any decision that we make affects the persons with whom we relate, because we are always operating in community. And if we are mindful of the impact of our decisions on the people with whom we are in relationship, and we reconcile that with what we want, then we all can live our best life.
Ladies, thank you so very much for coming and joining us this morning. And we want to thank Kira too for bringing another family member along. You have helped us greatly.
That was Armani.
You hear him name too, Armani. That sounds like a celebratory
there
present.
There you go. Ladies, thanks for having me.
Yes, and thank you so much for agreeing to come and share with us.
Have
a great
morning.
Day. Yes, yes. Okay. We are going to take a break at this time. Stay tuned to Love 101 and The Morning Watch.